Morning, everyone. We have re-batteried the mic, so we'll run with this and see if it works. Good to be sharing with you all this morning, and thanks to the band for that lovely silent night. Should we give them a round of applause? It was awesome. As many of you know, this will be the final time I'll be sharing with you guys. But this is my final year of kind of doing this journey that I've been on the last 6 or so years with AYM, doing youth work in Wellington the last couple of years, which has been up here at St Mary's. Just want to say thank you as well for all the support and the chats and the encouragement, especially with the preaching. Have enjoyed talking to people after the service, getting feedback and just having a chat about what I share. So I appreciate all of you very much for that. So this passage that we are looking at today is called Mary's Song, coming from the beginning of Luke, and it picks up nicely on what John shared last week, going through the early story with John the Baptist in this kind of period of leading up towards Christmas. And this Mary's Song is known as the Magnificat in Latin, which means "My soul magnifies the Lord." And it's often sung or said around this time of year. It's a very important part of our church liturgy and hymns. It's been a very kind of impactful and powerful passage of scripture throughout the last couple of thousand years. I think it's easy to see why, thinking and reflecting on the words of Mary and the manner in which she expressed them. It's made me realize this has a lot to teach us in our lives today as well. The first thing I want to kind of look at from this passage was how awestruck Mary was by this divine encounter that she had with the angel, and how she kind of expressed that. So in the context of Luke 1, which is where this passage is situated, Mary had just been visited by an angel who had told her about the plans for Jesus and how she was going to give birth to him. And she'd rushed over after that to go and see Elizabeth, who was her relative and pregnant as well at the time with John the Baptist. And this is the song that came out of Mary's mouth when she was conversing with Elizabeth and kind of sharing in that great joy and great excitement as to what was to come. I think it's very easy for us when we're reading this and looking at it now, when we understand the whole story in the bigger picture of what happens with the birth of Jesus and how that story goes, to idealize and kind of romanticize what is happening here for Mary. Obviously, it was such a profound moment for her. She'd just been visited by the angels, and she knew she was participating in something that was hugely significant for all of humankind, which makes it easy when you focus on that stuff to overlook the personal cost what Mary was stepping into here. This was a life-shattering event for her, and she was only a teenager at the time, due to be married, of course, to Joseph. And someone becoming pregnant in that time, especially not to someone who they were due to be married to, put her in a very vulnerable position socially and made her heavily dependent on God to fulfill his promises and do what he said he was going to do to her in this space. However, despite all of that, which was obviously going on for Mary at some level, she doesn't focus or dwell too much on that. Instead, she's struck by awe and wonder at the divine and what God wanted to do through her. And that was the thing that she emphasized throughout this song. This was a big personal challenge for me, I think. Often when I'm thinking about what God might be inviting me into or what he's saying to me or what might come next, the first thing I always do is jump towards the cost, jump towards the negative or try and work my way through it as to what this might mean. How will these new things affect me, or what does it mean I'll be able to do or no longer be able to do? There's always kind of something that happens is because of what God invites us into. We know that that's often the call that he has on our lives. However, Mary, through her expression of joy in the song, an expression of awe, shows us that an encounter with God, an encounter with the divine, always leaves us awestruck. And all the reasons why we shouldn't, and all the doubts and the questions and all the uncertainty kind of fades away to insignificance when we're confronted by God's greatness and what he wants to do with us. I think awe is something that we can easily lose in our modern lives. No more so than at the moment with December and Christmas and everything so busy. We're kind of rushing around trying to get things done. We've all got kind of lists of things we're box ticking and getting our way through and kind of quite focused on the goal of making sure we've got everything done and we're exactly where we need to be at the right time. But because of this, it means sometimes we can miss out on what God's wanting to say to us, what he wants to do with us in the present. And because of that, we don't get those experiences of being able to be in awe of God and see him moving in amongst us in the here and now. I had a kind of important realization of this about awe a couple of years ago before COVID had kind of changed our lives' plans a little bit. I was traveling through Europe with my family, and we were kind of doing one of those classic kind of cathedral hops where we're just going from town to town, trying to jam everything in as quickly as we could to kind of see as much of Europe as we could in the limited time that we had. And it was in the middle of summer, the middle of tourist season, it was super hot, the places were packed, and we were kind of rushing around from place to place, trying to get all the photos, trying to see all the things, trying to have all the experiences as we could. And the process was quite exhausting and draining, as well as being incredibly profound. But one thing that kind of caught up with me towards the end was when we were in Assisi, which was a lot more slower paced, it was a lot less busy, and we were able to go to the church of St. Francis, where he was involved in the 12th century and kind of setting up the community there. And then in that church, which was a lot less grand than some of the other cathedrals we'd been just in the days before, we were able to kind of have a moment of catching our breath and just sitting in awe with God, seeing what he was doing, and just kind of being in the here and now, and able to marvel at kind of the greatness of God and the awe and what he inspires us into. It's a great tune. All good. We'll keep going. But I think often this dynamic plays out of missing the awe in our lives as well. We hardly ever marvel at very long at what God's been able to do in our lives and what he's doing amongst us, because there's always something new that we need to move on to. There may be a new crisis or a new situation, a new set of things to do. And because we're always needing God to front up or deliver, then we kind of, as soon as it happens, we kind of can move on to the next thing and not dwell on his goodness and kind of, as Mary did, sit in awe. Obviously, as we've said, this was an incredibly profound moment for her in her life, surrounded with a lot of uncertainty and personal challenge as well. But what I like about what Mary did was, in this profound moment, she chose to take time out to mark and honour God's faithfulness to her through the song of worship and praise, celebrating and remembering and marking what God has done for us in those important moments, and remembering his faithfulness is so critical for us in the long run in our own faiths. These moments in turn, when we kind of mark and acknowledge them, can become really powerful reminders when things do get a bit more difficult of who God is and what he has done for us. A couple of months ago, a friend of mine ran a race called the Southern Crossing, which begins over in Kaitoke near Upper Hutt and goes across the Tararua Ranges to the Ōtaki Forks. It's kind of 30 to 40 kilometres of kind of up and down, going down mountains. And we came into it pretty unprepared, not quite sure what we were up against. We started bright and early, and I'd just come back from a cousin's wedding the night before, so I had all sorts of desserts kind of swirling around in my stomach as we kind of battled through the early couple of hours, slogging our way through the bush, climbing. For what seemed like a never-ending amount of time. And then suddenly, when kind of hopes were kind of wavering and we were really down in the dumps, we kind of came through the end of the bush and arrived at the top of a mountain, which is called Mount Alpha. And from the top of that mountain, we could kind of see the whole scope of the race that we were running. We could see the bushes and the hills that we'd already climbed up, and we could also look forward and see the rest of the race with the Ōtaki Forks final destination away down there in the distance. And being able to see the scope of what we were doing, being able to recognise what we had done and see where we had to go to make it towards the end helped us by giving us so much more motivation and kind of a sense of place, which helped us finish the race, which was looking in doubt there for a couple of moments. And I think this song here, the beginning of Luke, was Mary's Mount Alpha moment, where she can see the bigger picture. She can see God's plan, see his faithfulness to her in the past, which helped her trust him when the terrain was more difficult in the future. Remembering the faithfulness of God is so important as we go through life's journeys. The Israelites as a people group were quite good at this. Often we see throughout scripture examples of them remembering and reminding each other of what God had done for them. The stories of Exodus and from the beginning of the Bible of God's deliverance for the Israelites as a people is constantly retold throughout scripture and right through Jesus and Paul and throughout the New Testament. The Israelite people, to help them stay on course, to help them stay faithful to God, they told the stories of what he had done for them for generations and generations in the past. And if, on a personal note, over the past kind of couple of weeks, I've done a lot of reflecting over this last season of my life. And reflecting on this alongside this passage has helped me kind of remind myself of those mountaintop moments. And I've kind of come to the realization of how important those moments were. That happens every once in a while where we can kind of see the whole terrain, where we get a glimpse of what God is doing and kind of see where he's taking me and see where he wants me to go from there. And those moments, those markers were so important for me to keep on going in the journey and to remind myself that God was with me and God was present. The last sentence we see before Mary's song, so the last sentence before what we had read out this morning, was Mary and Elizabeth having a conversation. And Elizabeth said something to Mary which was really profound. She said, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." This got me thinking about the idea of belief. And obviously Christianity is something that we all believe in. However, the way we talk about that and what we mean by belief often looks very different in reality to, I think, the power that it has in what Elizabeth said to Mary. Belief in kind of how we use it in everyday speak is something that's quite trivial. You can kind of believe in anything. It's not a concept that costs you much to give your belief to an idea or a thing. And kind of Christianity could kind of come out in everyday conversation and belief in kind of the same way a belief in aliens would come out, or a belief in Santa Claus, or a belief in anything really. All it is a mental assenting or an agreement with an idea that doesn't mean anything in practical life. However, this belief that I think Mary and Elizabeth are talking about here is a different, deeper, and more important type of belief. Mary's belief that she has is a costly belief. It's a radical step of faith into a future that is deeply uncertain towards God, which is trusting him and trusting in his goodness. This belief she has in him is a belief that he knows what he's doing and that she will be taken care of God no matter what happens in the future. And the result of that sort of profound, strong faith was that Mary, who was a simple, everyday teenager at the time, was able to play a crucial role in one of the most significant events in human history, which was the birth of Jesus. I hope that for all of us, we can all move closer to this kind of belief that Mary has, a tangible, costly, but profoundly impactful belief on our lives that will be a real witness to Christ, whatever we do. The final thing I want to share from the song that stuck out or impacted me was the section in the middle. I want to kind of read out from starting at verse 51, where Mary says, "His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands." This is a message we see time and time again throughout Scripture, this idea of an upside-down kingdom, which is so central to this Christmas story and so central to the whole story of God. God loves using unlikely people in unlikely times. God is always looking to back the underdog, to back the forgotten. He cares about justice, and he wants us to do the same as he rewires how our world works. I think, like many of you this year, I've spent a lot of time kind of focusing on the big things. There's been so much happening in the media and in politics in 2020. But most of the time, I think this is a helpful reminder that God is at work. He's at work everywhere, but he is mainly at work away from the fanfare, away from presidential races, away from the media hype, doing profound things through ordinary people like Mary and like us if we're willing to take the same leaps of faith she did. Let's pray. God, in this Christmas season, we thank you for the passage and its inspiration that it can be for us. We pray that you'd help us become more like Mary. Help us to rediscover a sense of awe of you and awe of what you've done in us. Help us to remember those mountaintop moments that you have come and you have provided for us. Help us to have a belief that is profound, a belief that can compel us to participate in God's upside-down kingdom. Amen.